Welcome to the Patient Activation Network podcast. I'm your host, Matt Cavallo. I have with me today Chuck Wakefield. Chuck has been living with multiple myeloma since 2003, and he's here today to share his personal story. Chuck, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And thank you for being here. We appreciate you taking the time to share your story with us. Could you just give us a brief introduction on who you are?
I am a 72-year-old dentist who spent 21 years in the Army living all over the world, and then I've run graduate residencies in universities and hospitals for the last 23 years, and now I'm retired from that as well, and I practice dentistry with my son in a suburb of Dallas, Texas.
So you've been living with multiple myeloma since 2003. For our audience, could you give us a Reader's Digest version of what multiple myeloma is?
Multiple myeloma is a malignancy, which means uncontrolled growth of plasma cells that are in your blood and in your bone marrow. Plasma cells make antibodies that fight off germs and viruses that get into your system. And the plasma cells, the malignant plasma cells that you make, are really non-functional. That is, they don't do their job. And by growing so much, they crowd out all the other good cells, like red blood cells and platelets and things like that, so that you have a whole pile of different illnesses and things like that that can take over, and you just can't fight them off.
Chuck, how were you diagnosed with multiple myeloma?
Well, I get complete physical exams just because of my military experience every 6 months. And on one of my exams, routine exams in December of 2003, my physician said, some of your lab values are a little bit off. I need to do some more exploration, ordered some more labs. And with 3 days, he said, I think you have multiple myeloma, and sent me over through all the hematology oncology section of the hospital for a definitive diagnosis. I was one of the really lucky ones. I mean, if I didn't get routine physicals and things, and if I was less fit, I probably would have had the most common symptom, which is lower back pain, because patients get problems in their vertebra, and their vertebra start to collapse, and they get all these, you know, all the nerve problems in your legs, your back, everything else like that. Some of them can't even walk. But I was fortunate. My internal medicine doctor, is my primary physician, is brilliant, and he picked it up right away. So they definitively diagnosed me, and within 5 or 6 days after that physical, of course, it kind of helped I was on staff at the hospital, but within 5 or 6 days of that physical, I was already being treated for multiple myeloma.
Now, you mentioned that you weren't really feeling any symptoms and that, you know, you have a lifestyle of fitness. Were there any things like increased fatigue or anything else that maybe you said, hey, I'm not right, I need to get this checked out? Or was it just discovered during a routine exam?
For me, it was amazing, Matt, because, I mean, I had just finished a pretty competitive season on cycling. And of course, this was December when my exam was. So we were starting to decrease our level of mileage that we would do for the winter season. And no, I never did have any symptoms. When I look back on it, and I've done this a lot of times, I mean, I try to think, was I feeling fatigue? Was I doing this? But again, at the time, I was running a graduate residency in the hospital, and so I was working probably between 60 and 70 hours on a normal week. So, I mean, you're always sleep deficit, tired and things. So, but for multiple myeloma, I can't say I had any definite symptoms, and that's pretty rare. Most people do.
What advice would you give to people who are recently diagnosed with multiple myeloma?
Well, I do this quite frequently because I work in conjunction with my bone marrow clinic and my multiple myeloma doctor, because being a dentist and being well aware of that, I see the patients when they are newly diagnosed, because it is incredibly important once they start their treatment that they have just absolutely perfect oral hygiene, and all disease is completely eliminated from their mouth. It's just not, well, I get my teeth cleaned every 6 months. It is incredibly important. And if I expand on that just a bit, I mean, I'll tell patients, if you brush and floss and you spit just a little bit of blood into the sink, that's way too much. All those germs are getting there's over 500 nasty germs living in your mouth, and they're going all over your body, and you won't be able to fight them off, and you can get a lot of things from that. So perfect oral hygiene. There are some things that can happen to the bone around your mouth and everything, depending upon the medications that you have. A lot of the problems are due to poor oral hygiene, periodontal disease, smoking, type 2 diabetes, and things like that. So you just have to make sure that you treat the whole body. The other part I tell them is don't worry about it. I mean, there is hope. There are so many new medications and drugs out and everything, but I think it's really important to be educated to what's going on, because many people don't know. And you can get a lot of education by hooking up with the MMRF.org website. I mean, there's tons of information on it, because there are a lot of people in some smaller towns with not, you know, really higher levels of specialized medical care around the country and the world that, you know, they don't have routine knowledge of that. But there are a lot of medical centers that know a lot about it and are very capable of treating it effectively all around as well. But you find those out through the MMRF, Multiple Myeloma Research Foundation.
We're talking to Chuck Wakefield, who's been living with multiple myeloma since 2003. Speaking of the MMRF, I understand that you do a lot of cycling to raise awareness. Could you tell us how you got into cycling?
Boy, I was racing bicycles 40 years ago. I mean, I've been doing that for most of my life, and cycling and running even combined. But in my later years, when I ran residencies, I didn't have too much time to run. So I've done a lot of cycling. And you know, I mean, we just finished this weekend one of the biggest century 100-mile races in the country, and that's in Wichita Falls, Texas, called the Hotter Than Hell 100. There's 14,000 bicycles show up for that, even in the hot Texas heat. But it's just a sport. You're in a club, you have friends, and but it's also a lot of fitness. And, you know, you go out and you can cycle at any level you want to, but you don't have to race. But cycling is a really, really a fun sport, and it's good, and it's safe, and it's low impact as well. So you can get fitness. It's just a long spin class outside, but you have a lot of, you make a lot of friends doing it as well. It's fun.
And I understand you take part in something called Road to Victories. Could you tell us about Road to Victories and what the goals of that cycling challenge is?
Yes. Well, MMRF, through their promoting fitness, and they have many, many ways that they create awareness, you know, and educate people and solicit donations for research and, you know, and get the word out to the community of what multiple myeloma is and what we can do for it. And they have created a bunch of cycling events, Road to Victories. We've had different programs through MMRF where we've climbed mountains and things like that. But Road to Victories, this is a cycling program, and it's heavily sponsored by Janssen Pharmaceuticals, which is really appreciated. And they allow Road to Victories to put 100% of their donations straight into research. And that's why the MMRF is a phenomenal foundation. But just this year, some of the rides of a ride that I just did 3-4 weeks ago, we rode from London to Paris, finishing the day before the Tour de France finished. So we got to do that. Just last week, the Glacier National Park ride up in Montana and up into Canada. And then coming up in September will be the Utah National Parks ride, which goes through Bryce Canyon and Zion. And that will be a very, very hard one. I can't, in my schedule, I can't do the latter two, but I did ride London to Paris a few weeks ago. So there's a lot of really neat events. Of course, last year, the kickoff for the whole Road to Victories, and that's roadtovictories.com, www.roadtovictories.com. The big kickoff for that was a ride across country. 18 cyclists started at the pier at Manhattan Beach, and just south of L.A. It's part of L.A., actually. And 12 of those riders went to Flagstaff, Arizona. We went through 122-degree heat there. And then 6 of us continued on and went across the country. And I'm very, very fortunate because I'm the only patient that was able to go ahead and ride all the way across the country. So I'm, being a multiple myeloma patient, being 72 years old, I'm still very, very fortunate that I can do that sort of thing. And we angled up towards the Great Lakes, went along upstate New York, and then turned south and went through Massachusetts down to Connecticut and hit the Atlantic Ocean for a ride of 3,400 miles. We collected something like, I think it's over now, $425,000 on our ride in donations that go straight into research sponsored by MMRF.
Wow. And I understand that you met some neat people along the way, and that people really came out and droves to support this effort.
You know, you're really right, Matt. And I have no idea in those little towns how they found that out, because of the way we angled up through the country. To us, the United States is one big farm all the way from the Colorado River to upstate New York. And every 10 miles, there were, you know, some houses, maybe a Dairy Queen and a grain elevator. And the people in those little towns sometimes would be blocking the road. Hey, are you the multiple myeloma people? Yeah, we are. You know, and they would talk to us and everything, and they all wanted to donate and help out. And some of these people didn't have much money, and they would give $10, and it would almost just bring tears to your eyes to see what they were trying to do to support us. It was phenomenal, our reception that we got all the way across the country. They knew we were coming, whether they knew on the web or their local newspaper or they did a lot of stuff about us on news programs and things like that on the television. But I mean, we thought we were riding all alone, but we were not alone the whole way across country.
For our audience that's listening at home, if they wanted to find out more information or how to get involved in these great advocacy efforts, where can they go to learn more?
Well, they can go straight to www.mmrf.org, and that will open up the whole Multiple Myeloma Research Foundation website. And so part of that, you know, you can get in all these different things, and they answer questions like, what is multiple myeloma? What are the things you can do for treatment? Where are the best centers for treatment? And all that sort of thing. So I think it's very important that when people get education, I think there's a lot of opinion and things out there that I think that they need to have better education. You can get that through the MMRF website. Also, you can go to the roadtovictories.com website, and you can read all about what is being done to raise money for multiple myeloma, but also you can go straight into the MMRF site through the Road to Victories website. So those are really the two. And Road to Victories is just, you know, Road, R-O-A-D, to Victories, R-I-E-S on the end of Victories, no spaces, .com. And it has everything. And it's got a lot of details about our rides, too, when you get down into the weeds on the websites.
And we'll make sure we share all those links and resources on our podcast notes. As we're getting to the end of the program here, do you have any closing thoughts that you'd like to share with our audience?
Well, I, as a dentist, I'm referred a lot of patients from our bone marrow clinic, and they come into me because somebody might say, you know, I think you need to see a dentist. There's this one guy who knows a fair amount about multiple myeloma above and beyond what a lot of dentists might have, or dental hygienists. And I think the main thing is to get education and to know there's a lot of opinion out there, and you need to have real good education. You need to have somebody to know. And there are a lot of places out there that will give you the right test, and they will know what to do. And they just don't give you some basic protocol. But this is changing so fast all the time that I think you need to have a treatment at places that really know how, you know, to stay current and everything else like that. And in addition, I think it's really important to have a doctor, your physician, your primary physician, or whoever you refer to treat your multiple myeloma, that you really communicate well with. That because a lot of times the patients read all this stuff on the web, and some of it, you know, I mean, if it's those commercials, if it's on the internet, it must be true. Well, it isn't all true. And I just think it's really important. And the best source for finding out what's really going on is the MMRF, because the way that organization was started, the reason it was started, and by the people who started it, and then how they promote what is really proper. I mean, these people don't make any money. All the money that they're just basic payment for keeping the lights on, is it's amazing how much of the money goes straight into research. And they are they're finding these research things. And the good thing about MMRF, they find all this information out because the research is so effective through these different medical centers all around the country that have been designated by them to do research projects, that, you know, they also share their information with other cancer organizations. So they really are an exemplary group. I speak a lot to support groups, and I tell them, welcome to the club. If you had to pick a cancer to have, multiple myeloma is the one to have. And there's some truth in that too, from my experience in the last 14 plus years. Because I mean, I really feel confident with the people that treat me, with the people I know through MMRF, with the things that they do to support research, and the research is coming out. I mean, it's really, really good. But I think education from the good sources is the most important thing you can do, because then you're not running around confused. If you're not familiar with all the medical terminology, you're confused, you're unsure. You talk to people and everybody has an opinion. But I think it's pretty much important to stay in the right line, in the right zone with through the MMRF, and they will go ahead and point you in the right direction. Who is the closest person to you to get to or medical center to you to get to have really good diagnosis and definitive care.
And how are you doing today, Chuck?
I'm doing fine. I just had my 100-mile bike race on Saturday in the Texas heat. So I'm just kind of recovering a little bit today, and just doing busy things all day. And I'm still working in private practice, so I've got that the rest of the week, and everything's fine. I am not in complete remission now, but I am just kind of smoldering very, very at a very low level. So you could probably say that I'm not really an active case right now, but I'm smoldering. And I am very, very lucky being, you know, I just hit 14 years on August 12th since my bone marrow transplant. And I can go out and ride my bicycle across country. So I am really thankful to the care I've gotten and the information I've learned. And I really appreciate all the research is done and everything, because otherwise I would have not been doing that now, probably in the old days, or if I didn't have the right doctors.
We're thankful for you and all your advocacy efforts. And we really appreciate you taking the time today to share your inspirational story with us. And we wish you continued health and success on your road to victory.
Well, thank you so much, Matt. I'm looking forward to more adventures with MMRF. And I know we're going to come up with some more for next year.
He's Chuck Wakefield, living with multiple myeloma since 2003. I'm Matt Cavallo. This has been the Patient Activation Network podcast. We look forward to bringing you another inspirational story soon.